the DOT finally has produced tarmac stranding rules with some teeth. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai, founder and executive director of FlyersRights.org. This started as a coalition after Kate had a tarmac stranding experience in December of 2006 and has grown to 25,000 or 27,000. Kate, how many people are in your coalition now?
27,400.
All right. Well, a lot of people obviously became concerned about the stranding issue. But in the meantime, in the time since, your organization has become somewhat of a broader consumer advocacy organization for flyers in general, not just about strandings.
Yes, that's correct. Accidentally, or should I say by nature of a terrorist occurrence, I received 1,200 unprompted emails from our members saying that they would donate to us, or varying degrees of pleading with me to take on the rapid implementation of the body scanners, because they felt that they wouldn't work like we were being sold that they would, and B, that it was a complete invasion of their privacy.
Well, and that obviously has really reached a crescendo following the Christmas Day attempted bombing of Northwest Flight 253 coming into Detroit. I wanted to talk to you today first, though, about something that happened back in December. We were talking about it before we got on here on December 21st. You reminded me it was that Monday. And that is that the DOT finally did something that you had maintained all along that it had the power to do.
They sure did. And it was a shock to our organization in a good way. One of those things like I'll never forget that moment when I picked up the phone and found out that the Department of Transportation had implemented a three-hour rule that was stronger than any language we had in Congress. They had implemented a three-hour rule with no extensions possible for the pilot that would allow passengers to get off a plane, assuming that it's safe and secure to do so, and implementing up to $27,500 per person fines per incident, which are extraordinarily higher than anything I'd ever heard mentioned in Congress in relationship to our bills. So it was, and essential needs for passengers being cared for after the two-hour mark on the tarmac, meaning access to food, potable water, and I'm glad they had the word potable in there because that, believe it or not, was a struggle. Access to medications, the toilets must be serviced so that they are hygienic, temperature control, and any other necessities that they need on board an aircraft.
Well, I remember when I read this thing, I was thinking back on the recent Ray LaHood indignation press release about the Rochester, Minnesota stranding and how Continental, ExpressJet, and Misaba were being fined. And you and I had talked about that, and I remember writing at the time that I was kind of in doubt about Ray LaHood's credibility or whether this was, you know, more of a sideshow. And I looked in particular at the three loopholes they left in this new rule, which were safety, security, and impact on airport operations. And any one of those three would exempt particular case from complying with the three-hour rule. But in your opinion, that actually is still a workable rule, something that will still have teeth.
Well, yes, it does have teeth. And here's why. And why I believe this. I could be proved wrong after April 29th. We're going to have to see what happens. But the airports have been very supportive of the three-hour rule. They have been very upset with the airlines, as was proved in the task force that I was on for 11 months for contingency plans for long on-ground delays. They strongly felt that the airlines should have to allow passengers off after 3 hours. Now, you also need to know that airports make more money when you're inside the airport. The average amount spent per person in an airport under normal circumstances is $25.48. About $11.65 of that is on food, and the rest is on other goods and services. So the longer you're in an airport, the more chance you have of spending money. So it benefits them. So it's very unlikely that the airports are going to say, no, you can't bring that plane in. It's going to affect our operations. Now, it is true that the airports don't like to have thousands and thousands of people dumped into the airport at midnight, where all of a sudden the burden is on them to provide cots and water. But they are not going to, I guarantee you, the airports are not going to be the one to say, no, you can't bring the plane in. Because they also, in this rule, are required to have a plan to deal with people coming off these planes. Secondly, TSA has been more than generous about flexibility related to getting passengers off of planes. And they gave an olive branch during the task force that even dealt with international flights that said, first of all, A, there's no reason why domestic passengers should not be deplaned after 3 hours, and that they were not going to get in the way ever of deplaning domestic passengers after 3 hours on the tarmac or any other time. And B, that international flights that were diverted should allow their passengers off. And they didn't really care, you know, what time frame it was, other than they felt that there's no reason to hold them beyond 3 hours, and that they would allow passengers not to have to be screened on international flights to get off planes. So I don't see TSA or Border Patrol getting in the way of this either. The only one possibility would be the pilots whose contracts are unfriendly and dissuasive for them allowing passengers off, because many of the pilots' contracts out there commercially actually penalize them, or their pay stops once the door to the plane opens and they let healthy passengers off. If it's a medical emergency, they're still paid. But if it's not and they let healthy passengers off, their pay stops. So they might find reason to use the safety excuse if they can figure out a way to do it that's believable.
Well, and airport operations won't necessarily be the call made by the airport management. It may be a call made by an air traffic controller, and that's a whole different thing. I have to note on the pilot side that if the pilot is thinking along those lines or being influenced in that way, he also at least has a balancing influence of knowing that he could be putting his cabin crew at risk, and that people will know he's responsible for this decision.
Oh, yes. And as we talked about yesterday, I already contacted our volunteer who's created our brand new iPhone app, which will be released on February 15th. Mm-hmm. And by April 29th, we will have a 3-hour timer available on that app so that when people sit down in their seat, they can start clocking how long they've been on the tarmac, and an alarm will go off at the third hour.
So
if we can figure out a way to do it, we're going to see if we can get a whole group of iTone packing flyers to set their alarms and have them all go off at the same time while on the tarmac. And there are some flights that predictably sit for that long almost every day out of certain airports. So if the behavior continues, and again, you know, Paul, there's so many great things in this rule that also are going to prevent the airlines from continuing to overschedule chronically delayed flights.
Let's talk about those, Kate, after we take a break, because I think that's a fascinating aspect of this. Kate Hanai is my guest. More in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Kate Hanai of Flyers Rights, and we're talking about the new DOT rule that puts some fences on just how egregious a tarmac stranding can be. And Kate, you started before we got into the break to talk about an interesting aspect of the bill. Go ahead and expand on that, because I think this is fascinating.
Well, there are a lot of new aspects to the rule that were implemented on December 21st for airline passengers. And one of the biggest secondary issues that's been addressed that actually really gets at the cause of these long tarmac events is that airlines have been allowed to overschedule at certain airports unfettered, even with the DOT caps at JFK. It's been a total failure to manage the overscheduling of flights. So now what the department is saying in this new rule is that if you schedule what's considered to be a chronically overscheduled flight during certain time frames, the DOT now has a law in place as of December 21st that can fine you for that. And likely they will, because the Department of Transportation is tired of implementing other measures that have not worked, such as the ARC committee, such as, the caps that have been largely ignored. And so this is their way of dealing with that. The other thing that they put in this rule that the airlines are fighting vociferously now, they just sent the Air Transport Association and the regional airlines just sent a letter with a request to extend the effective date of a portion of the rule that was implemented December 21st, which says that airlines as of April 29th have to post all airlines with 30 seats or more. So all of the code share flights that normally don't report at all and all of the 19 reporting air carriers have to post on the front page of their website on the flight number that you're looking at. The front page of that particular flight is going to have to say at the point of purchase, this flight is late, has been late 30 minutes or more over 50% of the time. It's going to have to be posted. And so that's going to give you a much better idea as a passenger of whether or not you're going to make your connecting flight or how to make your arrangements around that. If you still want that flight, you can have it. Or maybe you want a flight that's not late.
Right.
Over 50% of the time, 30 minutes, so that you have a realistic time frames that you can deal with for getting to your vacation, your cruises, your train connections, the funerals, the weddings, whatever it is you're headed to. And the airlines are fighting this vociferously right now. They're pleading with the DOT to extend until July 29th. They want a 3-month extension because they're saying that they're just not ready. They've had 2 years to get ready.
You know, some of the people who have come at this problem from a market side solution have said that the way to handle that would be to have a higher ticket price on flights at congested times. As much as corporate travel managers like to complain about the cost of airline tickets, in the end, in many cases, somebody who is a high value enough employee to be putting on an airplane, their time is worth more.
That's right. That's right. See, you know, their time is worth more. Generally, corporations look at it as a treble loss. They triple that time per hour as the total loss when someone's stuck on a plane or delayed or can't make it to the meeting. So that's why I consider that, it would be worth it, I think, to at least explore the idea of the auctioning of the slots or charging a little bit more during those peak time frames. Because I know for myself, as a nonprofit organization, I am looking for low fares, but I'm also looking for direct flights. I have a certain set of criteria that I'm looking for nonstop between San Francisco and Dulles, but I can choose a morning or a late afternoon flight. It doesn't matter. And if I notice that there are more seats available on a later flight that may not have quite as desirable hours, I'm going to take it because we're price sensitive. But when I was a business traveler and traveling for business and the money was there to cover it, I know it would have been very important to arrive on time. And that has value. There is value in arriving on time and getting there during the time when you need to get there to limit the amount of time that you're actually gone on the trip.
Well, yeah, in some cases it can even save you a hotel room overnight, and that's a big equalizer in a ticket price.
That's right. And one of the services that our group is going to begin offering, I'd say mid-year this year, is that we're going to actually start charging for certain services, very small amount, but for helping passengers get their money back from an airline when they've been bumped or when they've lost their baggage and the airline is not responding to them.
Mm-hmm.
We have direct contacts at the Department of Transportation that work with each airline who respond to us very well, even though they're not supposed to mediate individual complaints. And we're going to start dealing with also flight delays where there's some question as to whether or not it's been a weather delay. Because, you know, the GAO says only 7% of all delays are actually caused by extreme weather, but around 45% are actually allocated to weather by the airlines, who get to make a subjective interpretation when they're allocating those those ratios.
Right.
So there's some question in our mind as to, and we've had some pretty good success with helping people get money back, even when it's not, quote unquote, a mechanical problem or something within the airline's control. So, you know, I think that there's a lot more that can be done for passengers, but people really need to understand that what we got in this rule was an enormous step forward. And when I called it a Christmas miracle, I meant it, because I never would have expected the DOT to come down this heavy-handed on the airlines. And I do believe that they will fine them, and that the airlines better get snapping on fixing these problems, because they've had a long time to think about it, but apparently they haven't implemented anything that would help them fix it. So I would anticipate more of these kinds of requests to extend.
Well, it's going to be interesting. What do you think the odds are it'll actually go into effect in April?
I think the odds are very good that it will go into effect. And I think the odds are also very good that there are going to be a couple of whopping fines laid down. Last May, middle of May, Spirit Airlines diverted three flights to Philadelphia, and two of them sat overnight much longer than the Rochester flight did. They sat for 9 hours overnight with gates available. One of the three jets was allowed to go to a gate after about 6 hours, but the two others sat for over 9 hours, and it was covered by local news. But this is the kind of thing that most people don't know happened, but happened and affected hundreds of people. And that's going to be fineable. And I guarantee you there will be fines, because some of these, any airline that has planes with 30 seats or more that has these is now going to have to pay up. But the one thing I do have to say about this, the caveat, is people who are in these events must speak up. They must let us know. They must do anything they can to document what happens during the event. And they must also contact the Department of Transportation and scream like crazy about whatever happens during these long tarmac events. Because if the DOT doesn't hear about it, if there's no complaints about it, chances are the DOT will impose lower fines that may be not so meaningful, and they won't have that cash going to the customer. It's my understanding from Robert Rivkin at the DOT, who's the general counsel, the DOT can assess a portion of the fines as going back to the passengers in these events. So we feel that it should always be that a portion of the fine goes to the passengers who have lost dearly during these events.
Well, Kate, it sounds like the world in which we fly has been redefined in some ways. I'd love to have you back tomorrow to talk about just the basics of air travel 101 with this kind of thing in mind, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'd love it. Absolutely.
Well, all right then, Kate, we look forward to having you back tomorrow. My guest has been Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.